Every year in October, the Czech Republic honors those who have contributed significantly to promoting the country's good name abroad. This year, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg bestowed the annual Gracias Agit Awards on 13 personalities from around the world to thank them for their work. One of the laureates I spoke to at the ceremony is Raymond J. Snockhaus. He's the Honorary Consul General of the Czech Republic in Texas. For more than two decades, he has been working to promote Czech heritage and culture in the United States, cooperating with a number of Czech-American organizations in Texas. He maintains close ties with the Czech Republic.
My paternal grandparents came from Bohemia, from a place called Lutava, near Trebon. And my paternal grandmother came from Magdalena, which is near Trebon. And then my maternal grandmother came from Ostrava. So we're half Czech and half Bohemian and half Moravian. And to tell you how proud we are of our heritage, I lost my wife in 1997 after 45 years of marriage. And I met my Clarice 2 years later. And she is very, very Czech. She's also half Moravian and half Bohemian. And she's the pride and joy of my life. And we got married in the Czech Republic. And this priest you saw me talking to, he was the priest that married us in the little village church in Magdalena, where my grandparents were married. We got married on November the 20th, 1999. So we come back as often as we can, and it's, as I say, I feel like I'm so at home when I'm here. And the thing that I have always loved about my heritage, because the people that came from this dear country, it was under the Austro-Hungarian Empire at that time, they were not the educated. People didn't have any education, but they had a very strong work ethic. They were very, very honest, and their morals were extremely strong. And they had a strong belief in God. They were very, very devout Christians. And that's really all they had going for them, because they came into a strange land. The language was new. Everything was strange. And they had no money. And there were no handouts in those days. So they had to stick together and become very close. They took care of each other, and they kept coming and kept coming. And the thing that they got from it was they could own land. In fact, we had grants, land grants, that they could participate in and own land. Well, that was so unique, because when they left the Austro-Hungarian Empire, they could not own land. They owned nothing. They worked for wherever they were told to work. There they had the freedom to work wherever they wanted to work, and work as hard as they wanted to work, and make as much money as they can. And guess what? Today, they own most of the land in Texas. And that's the truth. They're very well off. Their kids are educated. The grandkids are educated. My father, who is a Kovács, he didn't have a day of education. He had to work to make a living farming. They had to clear the land. They didn't have modern equipment. They had mules and, everything horse-driven and so forth. So nothing was easy. But they have resilience that is nobody can compare to the resilience of the Czech people. And to this day, they have a reputation in Texas. If you say somebody is Czech, they'll take a second look. They like them, because they like to, people are always looking for good workers, honest, hardworking people with good morals. And Czechs fit that bill very, very well. And they're also very smart people. Czechs are very, very smart. So I'm not one of the smart ones, but I'm certainly one of them otherwise, you know. And thank God for that every day.
Raymond J. Snockhaus, the Honorary Consul General of the Czech Republic in Texas. Among this year's laureates of the Gracias Agit Award was also the Czech-born British composer and pianist Karel Janovický, promoter of Czech classical music and former director of the Czechoslovak section of the BBC World Service. I asked him whether before 1989 he believed that he would ever be able to come back from exile.
Seeing what the situation was after so many years of the communist regime, I don't think anybody expected the regime to roll over and give up the ghost. So, to answer your question honestly, no, I never thought I'll ever go back. And when it happened, it was so sudden that in January 90, which was barely 2 months after the collapse of the regime, I took three of my colleagues, in other words, the four of us, got into my car, and we simply drove here to see what was going on. And since then I've been coming back regularly. Of course, I couldn't before, naturally.
And is this a country that you like coming back to?
Well, the first visit was a shock, because after 40 years of forgetting and not thinking of ever coming back, the fact that your memories suddenly come bursting in, I suddenly remembered where I did this and that, and I suddenly heard the language being spoken all around me. This was a tremendous shock to the system, and when I got back after about 10 days or so back to London, I slept for 2 weeks. I just had a meal and felt drowsy, had to go to sleep, and this went on for about 2 weeks, and then things settled down, and since then I've been very happy coming to here, which shows that one should not be cut off from one's own roots artificially, because there's something wrong about it. I mean, it shows that one should go back and should keep up with one's own life. But apart from that, coming back here, of course, it is my country, and I have a lot of friends here, and it's just a great pleasure.
Is Czech heritage something to be proud of?
Well, absolutely, and it's not only just that. I think myself and some of the other people who got that Gracias Agit reward today do this as something. It's a case of giving back something that we received. I still feel that this is my country, and I should give back what I got from the country, from my parents, from my family, from my friends.
Hugo Maron was born in Brno as Hugo Meisel, a descendant of an old Jewish family. As one of Winton's children, he arrived in Great Britain in 1939. He briefly returned to Czechoslovakia after World War II, but finally settled in Israel, where he served as an officer in the Air Force. A dual Czech-Israeli citizen, he speaks about the meaning of home.
I think that there's no question about it. A home can be described in two ways, right? One where you live, and one where you were either brought up, you were with your family, your parents. It's a difficult question to answer, but I think that basically I have two homes. A home which belongs to my origin, to the origins of my parents, of my grandparents, of my great-grandparents, back to to 968. My second home is in Israel, not because of choice. Not because of choice, because our entire family moved to America, and I have relatives here who come from Albuquerque. They were already born in America. Their parents left for America, my aunts and aunties. Nobody dreamt of going to Palestine in my family. They were all going west, if anything. When Hitler came to power, it was a question of where are we going to go. My mother said, we have to go because that madman is really going to do what he says in Mein Kampf, right? If anybody knows what Mein Kampf is, the book he wrote about making Europe free of Jews, you know? So, and my father, on the other hand, who was a reserve officer in the army and knew the history of the Meisels, what does it mean? They're going to get rid of the Meisels. We've been here longer than most of the other people. So he would have to get rid of 10 or 12 million Czechs, right? So this was the argument until it was too late. So we went to Israel for 6 months. We couldn't come back because of the communists. We didn't want to come back into a communist regime. My wife escaped from Russia, from Ruthenia. On the border, the Russians shot her mother and her brother-in-law, and they could have gone to America through Hungary, Romania, and so forth easily, but they came back to Czechoslovakia, and that's where we met in the army, and we married in Košice. So we came to Israel for 6 months and stayed 60 years. So it's our home. We brought up our children there. We fought in the wars, and we didn't consider the wars to be wars of religion. We consider them to be wars to attain the same type of democracy that was being lost here for 40 years, getting back to what we were brought up to under Masaryk to understand was a democracy.
Speaking of religion, you said earlier something very interesting about the separation of state and religion. How important is that?
I think it's one of the most important things in any type of community, never mind a state. Any type of community, you make friends because you have something in common. And your religion is a personal issue. You're an atheist, you can be a Catholic, doesn't matter. We were brought up as religious, semi-religious, just like most of the Jews in Moravia and Bohemia. We were not super religious Orthodox, but we prayed every morning and every evening. And during the whole war, I prayed every morning and evening. And we came back and we found no one here. So where is the Almighty God? There is no such a thing, in my opinion. But that's my personal belief. And if you believe you're a Catholic or a Protestant or a Buddhist, for that matter, or whatever else, that's your personal matter. The question of belonging to a state is a completely different issue. It's a country which I'm ready to die for. It's a country which I'm working to improve the conditions. It's a country that I respect it, and I expect it to respect me, okay? It's a public issue as opposed to a personal, private issue.
That was Hugo Maron ending that special program by Pavla Horáková.